Good morning, church family. I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who are here in person, and also those who are joining us, you know, through internet, YouTube, and radio, and also, you know, TV. I believe the same blessings from heaven will be with us as we join this worship together. Amen? Yeah, it is very cold, you know, outside right now, but nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us from, you know, praising God. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have, you know, special announcements from the youth ministry.
Good morning. A huge thank you to everyone who participated in the pancake supper. Maybe you ate. Maybe you donated. Maybe you decorated. Maybe you helped serve. Maybe you helped clean up. Maybe you cooked. But no maybe about it, you are appreciated. We are thrilled to announce that between the youth and the little kids, we now have over $1,000 to spend on warm clothes for the kids up north. And maybe there will be another $1,000 earned in time to buy snow pants, too. We just learned about this need. No matter what, may it all be to God's glory.
Amen. Amen. We have an announcement from Scholarship Committee.
My name is Norm Lake. I'm what's called the Charter Organization Representative between our church as a sponsoring organization for our Boy Scout troop, Troop 761. In 1918, this church body began chartering scouting, and for 106 years continually, we have had a scout troop meeting at our church and are sponsoring it. These have been interesting times, what with COVID, you can't exactly get together the same as you had done before. And then there were some issues regarding even whether Methodist churches would be allowed to sponsor scouting troops. So we're a bit of a small group now. And I want to tell you that we are inviting people to come on Tuesday at 6:30 in the Youth Center. Anybody between the ages of 11 and 18, and we'd love to see more people coming. This weekend, there'll be some people crossing over from a Cub Scout troop. We're building slowly, and we'd like to get the job done. I would say, just briefly, what we're about is having fun, enjoying nature, developing skills for outdoor safety, and learning about our duty to God and country. When a Boy Scout joins the troop, a family joins the troop, and they begin to know what goes on in the sponsoring organization. And sometimes families actually come to this church based on how they have been treated in our scouting program. So that's a good symbiotic relationship. I would ask that all of you help us by praying to help reach more scouts. We're really working hard to do that. Now, who do I hand it?
Tyler, yeah. Men's choral choir.
Yeah. Hello, everybody, again. Just a reminder that today at 1 o'clock, there is a rehearsal for men's chorale. We are singing for service on the first Sunday of March, March 3rd. We have a rehearsal today at 1 o'clock and also next Sunday at 1 o'clock. If you can only make it to one of them, that's totally fine. The idea is to just get up there and get singing with everybody. Okay.
Okay. The mission committee. Okay.
Good morning. I'm Faith Fuentes, representing the mission committee. And I would like to invite the members of the congregation to join us in a one-day trip on March 2nd to the Cass Community Social Services Center. This agency provides food, housing, job opportunities and then medical and mental health services. So, this is in areas of concentrated poverty in the Detroit area. So depending on how many members will join us, we will be assigned a project for the day. It could be anywhere from kitchen work, sorting out donations, painting an apartment. They are famous for their small, tiny houses for the homeless. That's one of their projects, and organizing donations. So it will be a one-day trip. We start at 7:30, leaving from the church. We will carpool. There will be subsidy for travel expenses. And then we will have sign-up sheets. Please join us for this one day. We have done a lot already for Ukraine, so it's time we do a project for our neighbors in our state. So we don't need special skills. We just need a caring and a sharing heart and working hands.
Thank you so much, Faith. The March 2nd, we're going to have trip to down to Cass community in Detroit. Please join this mission trip together. And we have a special guest today, Erica Hall. She is our new Admin HR Services Director. And our HR team just hired her, and she will start her work tomorrow. So, Erica.
Good morning, everyone. Like you said, my name is Erica Hall. I was raised here in Midland. I've been married for 33 years. I have two grown sons and a grandson. I'm here and excited to serve you. If you would like to get to know me better, I'll be here every day of the week.
Okay. Thank you so much. Why don't you give her a round of applause? Thank you. So we have a video that I'd like to see together with you.
Good morning. My name is Chuck Lank, and this is my wife, Denise. Go ahead, Denise.
This will be a church-wide study of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. The study will run from Wednesday, February 21st, until March 27th. In the evening, we will have a dinner at 5 p.m. in Fellowship Hall, followed by a brief worship service from 6 until about 6:40 p.m., and then break into small groups at 6:40 until 8 o'clock to study the book. There will be leaders there. One study group is also being offered on Wednesday afternoon at 3:30.
Books are available in the church office. A $10 donation to cover the cost of the book is suggested, but not required. We hope to see you there.
Have you ever read the book? Just raise your hand if you start to read the book. Okay. If you haven't purchased the book, please purchase the books, okay? And also, this coming Wednesday, we're going to get together, starting with the fellowship. So downstairs, we're going to share meals together, and then we will have a worship time together in the sanctuary, and then we'll go into our small groups. For 3:30 small group meeting, we're going to get together at the hearth room. I'm going to lead that group. So if you are interested in joining 3:30 small group, just come and join the small group. Are you okay? Okay. I believe this will be another time of God's blessing for our church. I strongly believe in that. Please join us in this time of wonderful worship, fellowship, and study together. And why don't we stand up and let us greet one another? Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. Please remain standing as you're able and join in the call to worship. Those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream. Cleanse us from sin and help us to cling to you, our great Redeemer. Teach us to walk in your ways and trust you. A tree planted by water shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Lord, bear in us the fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that we may bring you the honor and glory that you deserve all the rest of our days. You may be seated.
Good morning. Please pray as the children are coming forward for the kids and for Sunday school. Today we are going to begin thinking about Easter. We will talk about how Easter turns things inside out.
From the
royal, but sometimes sad, color purple. To the pure and joyful color white. We will remember that all this was God's plan and be grateful that Mary and Joseph said yes to God. Let us pray.
Dear God, we thank you for trusting us with the mystery of Easter. Help us start to understand how sadness and happiness really join together, but to make joy. We really wonder about that, but we know for sure that we love Jesus and Jesus loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joyful Bells. Let us pray together. Dear most gracious God, thank you for calling us to be your means of grace to the people around us. We also thank you for giving us the purpose of our lives so that we can glorify your name together through Midland First. As we are in the Lenten season, God, sharpen our understanding of why we are here at this time, in this place, with our church family. Let us see our destiny together as we walk into the new season. We pray for peace in the world, especially in the regions of wars and conflicts. God, hear the cries of the people and do not forget your goodness and love for them. We pray for the persecuted churches and Christians in North Korea, China, India, Sudan, Mozambique, and many others. Hundreds of millions of Christians suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. 1 in 7 Christians is persecuted worldwide. God, we know you are persecuted with our brothers and sisters. Give us courage and boldness so that we can participate in your suffering for the world together. God, during this Lenten season, we pray for your power, love, and understanding to be with us so that we can be transformed and grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Now we pray the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering. We really appreciate your continued support for our missions. And please continually participate in our missions with your prayers and with your monetary support continually. And ushers, would you please come forward? Thank you.
7. When I'm down on my knees, there's a winner closest to heaven. My daddy lived his life, 2 kids and a wife. Well, you do what you must do. But he showed me enough to know he made to get me through. Yeah, put your hand in the hand of a man, steer the water. Put your hand in the man of the hand, calm the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from a Galilee.
Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be your family together. God, we acknowledge that everything we have is from you. God, we give this back to you, Lord, as a token of our love and commitment to you. God, we pray that you use these gifts and use our lives only for your glory. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We are going to sing this song throughout the Lenten season because this is our theme song right before, you know, reading the scripture, you know, every Sunday. Today, the scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, we are in your presence. God, just, you know, speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm sorry we had a, you know, wrong, you know, slide for the scripture reading today. And the scripture reading was from, you know, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Do you remember today's sermon title? What is today's sermon title? What on earth am I here for? This question is a theme not only for today, but also for the whole Lenten season this year. What on earth am I here for? I remember a lecture by Billy Graham 15 years ago when he appeared on TED, T-E-D, and shared with his audience many young people's yearning for the meaning of life. This is what he said. There is something inside of us that is beyond our understanding. That's the part of us that yearns for God or something more than we find in technology. Your soul is that part of you that yearns for meaning in life and which seeks for something beyond this life. It's the part of you that yearns really for God. I find that young people all over the world are searching for something. They don't know what it is. I speak at many universities, and I have many questions and answer periods, whether it is Cambridge or Harvard or Oxford. I've spoken at all of those universities. They ask me the same questions all the time. Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's life all about? Why am I here? I believe all those questions can be summarized into what on earth am I here for? If your children or grandchildren ask you the same question, what would your answer be? Just think about it. What on earth am I here for? Before we answer the question, I believe that there are four crucial things we have to remember. First, we have to remember it all starts with God. It all starts with God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Let us read this scripture together. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything God started in him and find its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. All the questions we have in and about our lives must start with God, because he is the author of all creation. I remember when my Prius was broken, I took it to a mechanic shop in town. And the mechanic told me that, hey, we don't deal with hybrid car here. You have to take it to the Toyota dealers around us. To fix the problems of our cars rightly, we have to take our car to its maker directly. So all the questions we have in our lives and about our lives, if we have, to try get the right answer, we have to ask our Creator. Let me quote Reverend Rick Warren on this. You cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your Creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will not make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. Bertrand Russell was a British mathematician, philosopher, and atheist. However, even he said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Thomas Edison also said, when you see everything that happens in the world of science and in the workings of the universe, you cannot deny that there's a captain on the bridge. Let me read another scripture from Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Here, from him means God is the source of all things. Through him means he is the means of all things. To him here means he is the aim and the purpose of all things in creation, in history, and in salvation. And the goal of our lives is to bring glory to God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Secondly, the Bible is God's special revelation to his people. So we can figure out the meaning of our lives and also the purposes of our lives from God's special revelation, which is the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when we do ministries, we are not supposed to forget that we need to be equipped with the Word of God continually, because we can find God's special revelation in the Bible. Near the end of his life, John Wesley wrote of how he had loved and believed the scripture from his earliest time. This is what he said. From a child, I was taught to love and reverence the scripture, the oracles of God. This devotion to scripture as the word of God characterized John Wesley's entire life and ministry. As you might remember, there were four students got together at Oxford University, including John Wesley. They got together to study the Word of God. They got together to pray for one another. They got together to plan for their missions, especially in prisons. But they always want to be guided by the Scripture all the time. That is why they were nicknamed Bible bigot or Bible moth. That has to be we Methodists, our nicknames, Bible bigot and Bible moth. Have you ever heard the phrase homo unius livri, homo unios libri, which means man of one book. It has become a clear description of how John Wesley made Scripture the foundation for both his faith and his practice. He didn't mean by it that he read only the Bible. Far from it. The evidence from his journal and his letters tells us that he was one of the most widely read men of his century in England. From his day at Oxford University and throughout his busy life, he read widely in philosophy, history, biography, poetry, medicine, and travel, as well as divinity, theology, and church history. By man of one book, he meant that all other books were compared to the one book, the Bible. Thirdly, please be assured of God's love for all of us. What does that mean? When we can find God's purposes for our lives, we don't have to worry about anything. All those purposes were given to us out of God's love for all of us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." That is why Apostle Paul prayed for the people at the church of Ephesus. "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." I believe that has to be our prayers every day. God, please help me to understand how big is your love for our lives. How big is your love for other people, for the world? There is always room for us to grow more in our understanding of God's love. So that has to be our prayer all the time. God, help me to understand your love more. Let me quote again Rick Warren on this. "God never does anything accidentally, and he never makes mistakes. He has a reason for everything he creates. Every plant, every animal was planned by God, and every person was designed with a purpose in mind. God's motive for creating you was his love." Yes, the motivation of God's purposes for our lives is God's love. So we don't have to worry about anything about the purposes we have from God. That's why we have this scripture, Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future." Last but not least, be aware that you are always in spiritual warfare as you try to live up to your purposes from God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Let us read this scripture together. "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Spiritual warfare is real, especially when we try to obey God's will and the purposes for our life. we will experience the attacks of Satan. I remember when I took Peter Wagner's first class in my seminary, he was a guru when it comes to church growth movement in the 70s, 80s, even in the 90s. After teaching the principles of church growth in the United States and all over the world, he said this: the Christian life is all about spiritual warfare. I have taught the principles of church growth, but the real thing we are facing is the spiritual life, spiritual warfare. And this is what he said. Many Christians, they do not understand how powerful they are because they forget to wage in the spiritual warfare they have in their lives. We have the name of Jesus Christ. When we use the name of Jesus Christ in our prayers, that can be a powerful weapon we can use when we engage in the spiritual warfare we have in our lives. Even though Bertrand Russell was not a religious man, he said, "Each in our hearts that the evil lies, and each from our hearts that it must be plucked out." Albert Einstein didn't have a doctor's degree because he said that nobody was qualified to give him one. But he made this statement: it's easier to denature plutonium than to denature the evil spirit of man. He could understand the spiritual being in our hearts, the especially evil one. That is why Jesus Christ taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We must remember that we are always in spiritual warfare against our enemies, fallen angels and Satan, as we endeavor to live out our purposes from God. So let me summarize my sermon today for you. The first one is this: all the questions we have in and about our lives must start with God, because God is the author of all creation. The Bible is God's special revelation to His people, so we can find our purposes in the Bible. Please be assured of God's love for all of us. We don't have to worry about anything. God is trying to benefit us as we try to live up to the purposes we have from God. And last but not least, we are in spiritual warfare. As we try to live up to our purposes from God, we have to engage in spiritual warfare. That is why I ask our team leaders, when before they start their meetings, they have to pray together. And the meetings with the prayer. Whenever we get together, I hope to see our church members when they are in the sanctuary or in the chapel, at the parlor area, at the hearth room. I want to see our church members are, you know, praying for one another. Because we can protect ourselves by praying to God continually. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now we are entering into the Lenten season. God has prepared for you the special gift from Him. I don't know why I had a mind to have this kind of special time during the Lenten season every Wednesday to have our church members get together for fellowship, worship, and study. But I know for sure there must be reasons why God has led us to have that kind of a special time at the church. Please be prepared to enjoy God's blessing at this time. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be your family so that we can understand your purposes of our lives, you know, together. God, help us to understand that we are in spiritual warfare. And also, God, help us to understand your purposes for our lives are from your love. And also, God, help us to fully depend on your word as we want to be guided by you at this time. God, bless our time together as we get together every Wednesday night at the church. And God, pour down your blessings to your people. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be transformed continually and live up to God's purposes in your life. Now, go in peace. Amen.